We read tonight from Holy Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love, for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, that is, the elders of the church, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This is God's word. And we call your attention tonight especially to verses 6 through 10. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. As we noted in our prayer a few moments ago, on this night we can't help but be reminded of the passage of time. And the year that has passed has been for us a year of God's faithfulness and covenant goodness to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. A number of children were born, and God's covenant has been thus extended in our generations here in this congregation. And it was our privilege often on a Sunday morning to witness again the sacrament of holy baptism. Freely we were allowed to worship the Lord from Sunday to Sunday. And many of us, most of us, were blessed with health and strength, and above all with spiritual growth. And in spite of a bad economy, allowed to meet our need and blessed with food and drink and shelter, as well as covenant, Christian, and Reformed education in our schools for our children. Our blessings were tempered by sorrows and by trials. The Lord took recently, as we are keenly aware, one of our office bearers at what we would consider a young age into glory. And at this, the end of another year, the question is, what is our calling? And the heart of the message of the first 11 verses or so of 1 Thessalonians 5 is the coming of the day of the Lord. The fact that the year of our Lord, 2009, will vanish into history in just a few hours means that the day of the Lord is just that much closer to us. And the question is, are we prepared for that day? The fact that the day of the Lord is coming is obvious to us in the light of the signs spoken of in Holy Scripture, which we witness in our day. The day when the dead in Christ shall rise, the day when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. What a day that will be. It will mark the destruction of the present universe in the fervent heat of God's wrath. And it will be the day of God's final judgment. The ungodly shall be cast into hell forever, and the children of God will enter the joy of their Lord in resurrected bodies after the image of the body of the Lord Jesus in the new heaven and earth. Once again, people of God, are you prepared for that day? The question is not, you will note, will you and I be prepared? That's not the question. The question is, are we prepared right now. Should that day come at this moment, would we be prepared to meet our Lord? We don't know when that day will be. Of the times and seasons, the times and seasons when the day of the Lord comes, of that the apostle says, there is no need that I write unto you. And when the disciples asked Jesus when the kingdom of heaven would be restored, his answer was, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Acts 1, verses 6 and 7. And he told us in Matthew 24, no man, no, not even the angels in heaven know the day or the hour of that day. But this, you and I do know, and we know it perfectly. We know that that day will come suddenly and unexpectedly, as a thief in the night comes suddenly and unexpectedly, so the coming of the day of the Lord shall be. And just as the thief finds his victim unprepared, so the day of the Lord will find the world of unbelief unprepared. When they shall be saying, the Bible says, peace and safety, sudden destruction will seize them, and they shall not escape. They're going to be saying, peace and safety. Everything is going just fine. And just as it was, our Lord told us, in the days of Noah, they will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, till the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and took them all away. They were in the days of Noah, and they are today unprepared for the coming of the Lord. But that's not true of you, brethren. So writes the holy apostle. You are children of light and children of the day. And that day will not overtake you as a thief. Therefore, in harmony with the fact that we are not of the darkness, nor of the night, but are of the day. Therefore, for that reason, let us not sleep as do the others, but let us be sober and watch. Only in this way shall we be prepared for the coming of the day of the Lord. The text speaks of watching and being sober. And we need to understand the relationship between these. The emphasis, first of all, we note, falls on being sober. Verse 6 says, watch and be sober. Then verse 8 repeats only the being sober. And the idea, therefore, must be that we need to be sober in order to be able to watch. We can't be watching unless we're sober. Only in the way of being sober and thus watching are we prepared for the day of the Lord. Let us be sober then. And as is obvious from the text, as well as all of Scripture for that matter, being sober is the very opposite of drunkenness. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. And that means, to be sure, we may never be drunken. No drunkard can inherit the kingdom of God. And it's during the night that the drunkard most often is doing his drinking. But the apostle here, while certainly condemning drunkenness, is speaking figuratively of the ungodly. The drunkard cannot see clearly. He cannot think straight. His reactions are impaired. He cannot control himself. He reels about unsteadily and is not able to discern reality. He often, if he is an habitual drunkard, will have moments when he isn't even conscious of where he is or what he's about or what he's doing, so that he pictures in his drunkenness the ungodly who belong to the night of sin. They are drunk with the wine of the pleasures and treasures of this world. They indulge in the lusts of the flesh and of the eyes, and their whole life is a frantic, frenzied reaching out for the satisfaction of their own lusts. And that's so obvious in today's world. Spiritual drunkenness of the ungodly explains the horrible, chaotic immorality and ungodly mess that this world is in. Drug addiction, crimes, wars, and all the rest. The desperate search for release, for escape from the pressures of modern life. And while the ungodly drunken may find temporary pleasure and a few moments of relief from the fears and the troubles of life, sudden destruction awaits him, and he shall not escape. He's unprepared for the day of the Lord. But, and let's note that contrast, but let us who are of the day be sober. In distinction from the children of darkness who are drunken in the night of sin and death, we are of the day, children of the light. We've been redeemed out of that darkness and taken into the fellowship and marvelous light of God's covenant. Let us then be sober. No, that does not mean we may not be happy. It doesn't mean that there is no joy for us who are of the day. Listen, congregation, carefully. And don't ever forget it. And don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. We, along with all the saints of God, who one day will be a multitude that no man can number, standing around God's throne in glory, praising Him forever with unbounded joy, we, of all people, have reason to be happy and full of joy. Real happiness that can in no way be diminished and certainly can never, never be taken from us. Nor does being sober mean we just sit back and stoically take things as they are and wait for Jesus to come. No, no, no. Not that. Being sober simply means this: we are spiritually temperate. We have our spiritual senses about us, and we fight against the sinful lusts that remain in us. We are of sound mind, spiritually clear-headed, able to discern the reality of the coming of our Lord. And in that sobriety, we're looking forward with a full measure of joy to the coming of the day of the Lord. Let's be sober then. That means we're strangers among the ungodly drunken. It means our joy is in God and not in this world. And thus, being sober, we're watching. We don't sleep, as do the ungodly. Those others of whom the text is speaking are the drunken ungodly, reveling in all their wickedness, in the mad pursuit of the perishing things of this world. They're sound asleep in sin, totally oblivious to the coming of the day of the Lord. And when the church speaks of that coming, they only scoff. Where is the promise of His coming? That was the question asked by the ungodly unbelievers when the Apostle Peter was inspired to write his epistles. Read 2 Peter 3. Where is the promise of His coming? All things continue as in the beginning. The world had its origins in whatever, we don't really know, a big bang maybe, whatever it was. But one thing we do know, everything evolved and things are still evolving, and things, in spite of what the few bumps that we experience along the way and so on, things are getting better and better and only will get better if we only will take good care of this creation and go green and all that sort of thing. Peace and safety. They were crying that in biblical days, and they're still crying it today. We'll solve the problems. We'll clean up the environment. We'll get rid of the crime if we only have enough money to throw at it and other ills. Day of the Lord, that's sheer foolishness. This life is all there is. And we're going to find cures for all the terrible diseases that currently plague us. And we'll get bin Laden too. Oh yes, dead or alive. And we'll root out terrorism. And we'll send more troops to Afghanistan and Pakistan. And we'll get that war finished and get those troops home. And everything will be fine. We'll pass health care bills and all the rest. Peace and safety. Day of the Lord? What nonsense you people speak. Don't listen to that stuff, people of God. Watch in sobriety. Be spiritually alert. Know what's going on. Be wide awake. Pay strict attention to yourselves and what's happening all around us. Keep on watching. The text literally says that. That's ongoing activity. In all your work, in your eating and drinking, in the raising of your families, going to work or school, your recreation, and all these activities, be sober so that whatever you do, you may be watching for the coming of the day of the Lord. Jesus talked about this quite at length, didn't he? And in very clear terms. All you have to do is read Matthew 24. There's one thing we don't know. We don't know the day or the hour of our Lord's return. We don't know that. Not even the angels know that. So it's foolish to speculate as to when. But there are two things we do know. Number one, we know that that day is coming as a thief in the night, and in an hour that ye think not. And number two, we know the signs of its coming. Oh, yes. Wars and rumors of wars. Nation rising against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Famine, earthquake, pestilence in diverse places. Persecution, it's going on. You can be imprisoned in China for carrying a Bible. People of God are being killed in some of the countries of this world. And we know that God's people are hated of all men for Jesus' sake. Lawlessness will abound. The gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Many false Christs and false prophets will arise saying, here is Christ, or there. The events of 9/11, terrorism, God speaks in all these things. And God's word is, I'm coming in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The day of the Lord is coming. Finally, Antichrist himself, the abomination of desolation, will stand in the holy place, presenting himself as if he were God. Now then, people of God, observe those things. Watch in sobriety. We're seeing these things in our world today and in the churches. Great apostasy abounds. Worldly mindedness has won the day. Children of the day, watch. When you see these things, know that the day of the Lord is near. Even as Jesus said, at the doors. Don't be sound asleep. Don't be as drunken sleepers in the night, but in sobriety, watch so that you may be prepared for the coming of the day. There's only one way to do that. Put on the armor of God. Three virtues: faith, the bond that unites us to Jesus, through which all the blessings that Jesus merited for us flow to us, the certain knowledge of God as our God and Father, and a hearty confidence in God that He has saved us and will preserve us until the coming of the day, and love, the bond of perfectness, God's love, which exists in God Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the love that God sheds abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us, and so that we love God and reveal that love to one another as members of the one body of Jesus, and then the hope of salvation, that certain expectation of the final salvation, that reaching out with eager anticipation and intense longing for the glory of the coming of the Lord. In hope, we look away from the perishing things of this earth and life, and we pray, come Lord Jesus, yes, come quickly. That's your armor. Your breastplate is faith and love. The hope of salvation, that's your helmet. And there's your protection against Satan and his unbelieving, drunken allies in the world. Put on those virtues. Put on faith. Yes, that's why you need to come to church. That's why you children and youth need the catechism teaching of the church. More and more, you will have the confidence in the way of increasing your knowledge of God through His Word, that you belong to Him in life and in death. Put on the love of God. Yield yourselves in the service of God. Love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and let that love of God be seen in that you love your fellow saints in the Lord. And put on the helmet, the hope of salvation. Turn away from all the perishing things of the world and hope to the end for the glory that is to be at the appearing of Christ. Let your lives then be a reaching out for that glory. Only one way to do it. Yes, by using the means of grace. That's why we need preaching. That's why we need the sacraments. By that mighty power, God strengthens our faith and hope and love. And in this way, we're able to watch in sobriety for the coming of the day of the Lord. And it's all absolutely certain, people of God. Why? Because it rests on this ground. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Think of that. God has appointed us. He has placed us, destined us, not to wrath. No, the children of darkness are appointed to wrath at the day of the Lord. There are people flying under the flag called Reformed who deny that openly in their teaching and writings these days. But the Bible in 1 Peter 2, verse 8, literally says that the disobedient are appointed, put or placed is what that Greek verb means. Appointed to stumble over Christ into destruction. I heard a lecture once by the late James Dane in which he denied reprobation. In the question hour, someone submitted a question and you had to write them out. That someone was the man you're looking at. And the question was, how would you explain 1 Peter 2, 8 and 9? You know what his answer was? Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that's a toughie. Next question, please. That's a literal quote. We are destined, people of God, to obtain salvation. Nothing tough about the truth. It's there, plain as day. Final, perfect, glorious salvation. And that means the end of all our sinning and all the misery that results from it. And it's the beginning of eternal joy. The perfect realization of the salvation of our God will be realized in the day of the Lord. God destined us to obtain this by our Lord Jesus Christ. And right here, as our Reformed fathers put it, is the core ecclesiae, the heart of the church. We've been chosen in Him, predestinated to be conformed to the image of our Lord, before the foundations of the world, and for us and all thus given to him, Jesus laid down his life. He died under God's wrath on the cross. And by his death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, making atonement for our sins. There is no more wrath for us. Whether we wake or sleep, we're together with the Lord. What a wonderful comfort that is. Waking and sleeping refer here to the children of light, and mean very simply this: whether we are awake, that is, living on this earth, or whether we be asleep, that is, have passed away, have died, we are in either case together with him, with Jesus, and thus with God. What a marvelous comfort for God's sober, watching saints. Sin's power has been destroyed according to God's own appointment. There's no death for us. Nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Whether awake or asleep, we're together with our God. Hear the blessed gospel as another year comes to its end. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Certainly do not despair. As you continue your pilgrimage in the darkness of this present night, be sober in order that you may watch for the coming of the day of the Lord. And when that day comes, understand and believe there will be no more sorrow, no crying, no more pain, because there will be no more sin. There will only be the joy of fellowship with God and Jesus forever and ever. And it's certain, God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by Jesus Christ, who died for us. It's all of God. Can't fail. In this faith, out of this love, and with that hope, we continue our pilgrimage in sobriety, watching for the day of the Lord, don't we? Amen. Father in heaven, bless this precious word of the gospel to our hearts, and grant that it may be expressed in our lives, lives of sobriety, watching for the day of our Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.